Welcome to the Words of Life with God's servant, Pastor Obed Joy Obin. Get set for a life-transforming word right from the ovens of heaven.
Come on, you can do it better. Amen. Shall we close our eyes in prayer? And now, our Father in heaven, we are grateful to you of all that you have done and all that you are going to do. We say we love you with all our hearts. We thank you that you know all about us and you still love us in any way. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, in whom you have brought us a propitiation as an intermediary, so that through him we can reach you, and through him we can have fellowship with you. We thank you, God, for your abundant mercy that is able to take care of our inabilities and our weaknesses. This morning, if we stand before your presence, then it is not how much we have helped ourselves. It is not how much we've been able to do, but your grace has seen us through. I thank you for every one of us here standing before your presence. And we thank you for the entire church, both home and abroad. We thank you for the move of your Spirit that is across the surface of the earth, making known your Son Jesus Christ unto all that believes. Once again, we have come, like John the Revelator said, that I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. We thank you that our spirit is alert, our mind is ready, our heart is ready to receive. Holy Spirit, you have those words of eternal life. Therefore, speak unto us. May we not hear words of man's wisdom, but we hear with the demonstration of the power of the Holy Ghost. We thank you that you are a faithful God. Move in your soul, liberty, and bless every heart this morning. Use my vocal cord. Let it be yours forever and ever. And let the blessed people who are blessed to be here shout a big amen. Amen. You can take your seat in the presence of the living God. Are you blessed this morning and are you ready for God's word? I'm always excited when we have an opportunity like this to share with God, with you, the mind and the will of God concerning you. Amen. We have come thus far this month where God is still unveiling unto us his agenda and his theme for the month, especially in a season like this, where he said that we're making it to the top 10. Hallelujah. Making it to the top 10 actually means that making it in wealth and in health. In other words, he says that I wish above all things that you will prosper and be in good health, even as thy soul prospering. God expects us to live in wealth and in living health. Poverty is not synonymous to righteousness. He said, for we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, but for your sake he became poor, that through his poverty, you and I will be rich. So it is the will of God for us to be righteous and still be blessed financially and still be blessed in every area of our lives. In fact, salvation must speak to every facet of your life, not only some part. When you are saved, it must be seen in all areas of your life. So any area of your life that salvation is not speaking to, then you need to ask yourself, what is going wrong? We have seen Jesus' most powerful statement to the one who came to say thank you. 10 lepers actually got healed, but only one came to say thank you. Now Jesus asked this particular one that, where are the 9? Were there not 10 that were cleansed? Anytime I speak about that particular statement, a whole lot of things start dropping in my spirit. Where are the 9? Were there not 10 cleansed? Which means that Jesus was expecting the 10 to come back, to return back. In other words, Jesus was not only expecting thanksgiving, even though that was so important to him. Thanksgiving was not the only thing that he required from them. But could it be possible, I said it yesterday, that there is something that you know that Jesus has done in your life that will make you always get back to him? I've had the opportunity to read about most of the people Jesus has done great and mighty things in their lives. And from that moment, they started following him. We had Peter's encounter, when Peter had worked all night long in Luke chapter number 5 and has caught nothing. The Bible says that after Jesus had used his boat, he asked him that, launch onto the deep. Go back to where you failed. Go back to fishing. You worked all night long, but go back. Peter said that, Lord, you don't know how hard we have toiled. You don't know how difficult it is. In fact, we've worked all night and nothing has shown up. But at thy word, we will go back and lunch. They went back, and the Bible says that there was a massive miracle, a boat sinking and net breaking testimony. Now Peter looked at the abundance of the fishes that he's been able to catch by the word of the Lord, and look at Jesus. And from that moment, started following Jesus. Many examples in scripture about people that have had encounter with Jesus and their lives have been transformed and changed totally. And they started following Jesus. Talk about Mary Magdalene, Mary of Magdala, a woman that had, over legions of evil spirit, a woman that was known to be a prostitute. After her encounter with Jesus, started following Jesus to the extent that she was one of the women that actually was at the tomb when Jesus resurrected. Talk about Mary, the mother of James. Talk about Joan, a woman whose son actually died, and Jesus Christ spoke to the son, and the son came back to life. And this woman also followed Jesus. The question this morning is that, what keeps you coming back to Jesus? How grateful are you? What makes you keep following Jesus? Are you following Jesus because your needs are not met? I believe these 10 lepers were following Jesus. They were actually trying to catch his attention anywhere. But the moment they got their miracle, they forgot about Jesus. So where are the nine? It is my prayer that this year, of all that the things have done in our lives, of all that the blessings that we have enjoyed, of all the graces and the favors that has come to us, we'll still have a need to come back to Jesus and return to him. It is after we have returned to him that he makes us whole. Salvation is to make you whole. It's not just to give you a part blessing or a partial income, but salvation is to give you a full package of God's blessing. It is upon our return to him that we are able to enjoy the fullness of God in our lives. Where are the nine? Were there not 10 that were cleansed? How grateful are you? Jesus wanted them to know that apart from the fact that you are cleansed, I can also supply your needs. I can also make a way for you where there seems to be no way. I can also provide for all your needs that you are worried and thinking about. I can give you a job. I can give you or restore your family. I can bring you back to the place where I want you to be. I just don't want you to be cleansed, but I want you to be whole. Many a times we come to God just expecting one thing. But that one thing is not the problem for God. But what he wants from you is to give you the total and the whole blessing. It is my prayer that you will see God for the whole blessing and not just one particular thing. What a blessing. It is upon this understanding that we are looking at making it to the top 10. In other words, we don't want to be part of the nine this year. We don't want to be part of the nine. And God saying that as many that are making it to the top 10, you are making it in finances and you are making it in health as well. How do we do that? In Matthew 6:33, he says that seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all other things shall be added unto you. Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 23 makes us to understand that in all laboring there is a profit. In all laboring there is a profit. But the talk of the lips tendereth only to penury. When we begin to labor in the kingdom of God and to seek the kingdom and his righteousness, God bless us. How does he? He makes added blessings to be released unto us. Added blessings are blessings that you require by reason of hard work. The blessings that you think you can get by reason of what you put in. He says that these are the things that the Gentiles seek after. They wake up every morning and they want to find what they will eat, what they will wear, and where they will be. But he told them that when you seek first my kingdom and its righteousness, I would give you all that the Gentiles are looking for. So we must labor in the kingdom of God. And as we labor in the kingdom of God, God also will bless us. Praise God. So the best or the most profitable venture in this kingdom is kingdom stewardship or kingdom laboring. Say kingdom laboring. The best thing that can bring a profit to a man is your kingdom laboring. And what is kingdom laboring? Number one, what is kingdom laboring? That is serving the interest of the kingdom in all aspects of your life. Serving the interest of the kingdom in all aspects of your life. Seven, the interest of the kingdom in all aspects of your life. How? Number one, your commitment to church growth or your commitment to the growth of the kingdom. Number two, your commitment to expansion in the kingdom. Number three, your commitment to enlargement in the kingdom. Number four, your commitment to overall advancement of the kingdom. So serving the interest of the kingdom in all aspects is what we call kingdom laboring. In all laborings, there is a profit. But the most profitable laboring is the kingdom laboring. That is serving the interest of the kingdom in all aspects of your life, seeking for the growth of it, seeking for the expansion, seeking for enlargement, and seeking for the overall advancement of the kingdom. Somebody is blessed. Now, how is this done? And number one, it is done through your spiritual stewardship. Your spiritual stewardship. Your spiritual stewardship simply means you are laboring in prayer and in the word of God. It is when you are committed to God through your prayer life, consistent prayer life, your relationship with God consistently in prayer and in the word. We must labor in prayer and we must labor in the word of God. When we do that, we are seeking the God's interest through spiritual stewardship. Number two is physical stewardship. Physical stewardship is when we are availing whatever is in our disposal or committing everything that we have to the promotion, the growth, the advancement of the kingdom of God. For example, your strength. For example, your time. For example, your energy. Everything that is within you. Your ideas and the engagement of your heart towards the growth, the advancement, the enlargement of the kingdom of God. That is what we call physical stewardship. So we must be committed to the kingdom of God through our physical stewardship. That is why physically we must come to church. It is part of it. Amen. As much as possible, you can enjoy service at the comfort of your home. But he expects you to be here. Because when you come here, you are committing to the kingdom advancement through your physical word stewardship. Through your physical stewardship. Your promptness in church. What you do in church. The department at which you are serving. Whether you are an usher, you are a singer, instrumentalist. These are physical things that is seeking to promote the kingdom of God. And that is laboring in the kingdom. And there is profit. There is profit. The last aspect of it is what we call financial stewardship. Financial stewardship. And this is where we commit our financial resources to push the kingdom of God forward. Everything in life has to be supported. Everything. Everything in life has to be supported. And one of the things that supports the kingdom of God to advance forward is finances. In Zechariah chapter number 3, verse number 17, it says that through prosperity shall thy cities be spread abroad. Through prosperity shall thy cities be spread abroad. In other words, the cities of God, which is the church, spread when there is what? Prosperity. Prosperity. Amen. What a blessing. And this morning, we want to talk about financial stewardship. Say financial stewardship. Of all the stewardship that we have talked about, I believe that we have people who are committed to prayer, which is good. We have people who are committed to Bible studies. They labor in the word of God, share the word of God. They try to make God's word so clear and succinct for everybody to understand. Thank God for that. We also have people who, through their physical stewardship, are serving in the house of God. They come here every Saturday. They try to mop the place, arrange the chairs, and make sure that service is ready for Sunday. But then this last part of the stewardship, you don't see many people actually what? Serving there. You don't see many people actually what? Serving. And that is your financial. In fact, when it comes to financial stewardship, everybody feels that no. As for this one, I mean, they are not talking to me. As for me, I can serve with my strength. I can come and clean the place. But when it comes to money, let some people take care of it. But you must understand that God expects us to labor in all stewardship. We don't only labor physically and leave financial stewardship. We don't also labor in financial stewardship and labor in spiritual stewardship. All this must go hand in hand. And as a matter of fact, those who are laboring spiritually are the same people who labor financially. Because you cannot labor in one and leave the other. What a blessing. So we want to talk more about one that I believe that is rather a bane in many people's back. It's so difficult for people. They can do anything for God, but when it comes to giving, they go like, nah. In fact, they have to think twice before they would do anything like giving unto God. Praise God. We've already established the fact through our mid-week encounter that God has established his covenant with us. And that covenant is a covenant of blessing. Say, it's a covenant of blessing. And this covenant is seen in Deuteronomy 8:18, which I will not want to dwell so much. A covenant actually is a deal that is enacted by God based on a well-defined term sealed with an oath. A covenant with God is to walk in financial stewardship. And we understood that this covenant is expressed, number one, through your seeding and your harvest, which means your seed time and harvest. Genesis 8:22. It is also expressed in sowing and reaping. Psalm 126, verse 5. And it's also seen in giving and receiving. Philippians 4:15. If you were here on Wednesday, I believe it would be a blessing. And we also understood that this covenant also have channels. There are channels through which your seeding, your sowing, and your giving is also expressed. And I believe that we first understood even from last week that God requires us to walk in true spirituality. Says true spirituality. What do I mean by that? That is sowing your life to God and letting your character and nature be like Christ. Before your offering or your seed can be accepted, God wants your life to be that seed. God is not expecting your money, He expects your life. He wants you to sow your life. And once your life is sown, then your seed will be given. I've told you this story of a man who came to accept Jesus as his Lord and personal Savior, and he was getting ready for baptism. And at the pool, the pastor said, as you go down into the water, everything that goes down belongs to God. Not knowing, this man had some dollars in his pocket. So as he was going down, he lifted the dollar up. And the pastor said, what are you doing? But he said that everything that goes down belongs to God. This one didn't go down. So I just lifted it up. Praise God. So you can imagine there are people who have sown certain parts of their lives, but the other parts they have not sown it. Why? Because they believe that that does not belong to God, but it belongs to themselves. Number two, we understand that we must be dedicated and committed. We must be dedicated and committed. Psalm number 92, verse number 13. It is those that are planted that do flourish in the house of God. Your commitment, in fact, God will not bless you beyond your commitment level. God will not bless anyone beyond your dedication level. It is your dedication level that determines the level of your blessing. How committed you are to a cause determines what is released unto you. Amen. This morning, briefly, I want to touch on one of the important channels, which is the channel of sacrifice. And I want to be very fast so that we can finish this. Say the channel of sacrifice. I'm not feeling you. Say this channel of sacrifice. Sacrifice is a giving of your precious seed, a costly substance, your best, that which you sow in tears. I want to come again. Sacrifice is the giving of your precious seed, a costly substance, your best, that which you sow in tears. That which you sow in tears. In 2 Samuel chapter number 24, verse number 24, a very interesting story. There was an issue in the land of Israel. There was so much problem. David had done what was not right before the Lord. The angel of the Lord had come in destruction. And people were dying and there were plagues all over. And the word of the Lord came to David the king that he needed to actually make a sacrifice. Make a sacrifice. So that the plague will stop. And therefore, the very place that an angel of the Lord was seen was the land that belonged to a man called Arunah. Arunah. See, Arunah. Yes, Arunah. Praise God. And David, as we know, as a king, had the right to be able to go and claim the land, to take possession of the land, because he's a king, he has right. to take whatever he wants. And even Aruna was willing to offer the land to David free of what? Object. But let's listen to what happened. And the king said unto Aruna, nay. In other words, David wanted to buy the land. But I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Don't just give it to me for free. Many of us are too much interested in things that are free. We always want things which are hot, free. In fact, everybody, all that you are looking for is that you hear that there's a free something going somewhere. Then you'll be there. Oh, there's a free this. They are sharing free credit. You'll be the first to be there. They are doing this, free that, free that, free that. Praise God. Listen, everything, there's nothing for free. Take it from me. There's nothing what? If you don't pay it now, you pay it later. Or it is because somebody may have paid for it. That is why you are enjoying it. Are you with me? But as a matter of fact, there is nothing for free in this life. So, David said, I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which do not cost me nothing. Listen, a sacrifice must be an offering that costs you. A sacrifice must be an offering that you give or you sow in tears. In other words, you don't have it. You may not have what it takes to be able to meet that offering. But by all means, at all cost, there's something that I must do to make God satisfied. That is what David actually did. Well, he could have gone for Aruna and negotiated with Aruna and say, Aruna, you know, these things are happening and we know everybody is dying. If you don't take care, we too will be dying. And God says that we should offer a sacrifice, and that sacrifice can only be accepted on your land so that we can raise an altar here. So you give me the land for free and let me also buy the lambs and then the bulls for free. Is it not a good negotiation? But no. He said, I will not give anything to God. That will not what? Cost me. When you give to God, do you give out of abundance or you give out of a necessity of your need? When you give to God, do you give to God because you have so much and as a matter of fact, you just want God to be pleased? After all, many of you give because you think that the church needs money. No. The church does not necessarily need your money. We need your heart. Praise God. So I will not offer anything unto God which will not cost, which will cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of what? Of silver. Amen. 50 shekels now is an equivalent of 5,000 Ghana cedis. 5,000 Ghana cedis. I don't know whether it was an odium land or I don't know. But some way, somehow, he bought the land. He bought the land. Praise God. I said, praise God. So sacrifice is the giving of your precious seed. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse number 3 and 21. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse number 3 and 21. Are you getting blessed today? The Bible says that, and this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priest of the Lord, were there. Praise God. So we are seeing an offering, and we are seeing people who were there to also receive it. Now push it to 21. And the Bible says that, and the man Elkanah and all his household went up to offer unto the Lord a yearly what? Sacrifice and his vow. A yearly sacrifice and his vow. The reason why every year as a church we come together to give God not just an ordinary offering, but to give God a sacrifice, is because God requires it. God, that's what? Requires it. Is God asking, where are the nine at the end of the year? Where are the nine? Were there not 10 people that I brought them into the year? Where are the nine? How many of these are coming back to me to show their love by way of what? Sacrifice. What a blessing. I'm not feeling you. I say, what a blessing. What are the benefits of sacrifice? Number one, let's do this fast. The benefits of sacrifice. Genesis 22, verse number 1 to 2, and then 15 to 18. What are the benefits of sacrifice? Genesis 22, verse number 1 to 2. A quick one. He said that, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. Push it, push it. And he said, now take thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land which land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell of thee. See, one of the mountains. Now go to verse number 15. Go to verse number 15. So now Abraham has been instructed to go and offer an offering. Are you with me? And that it's not just normal offering that Abraham is used to. It's not just the offering of bulls and lambs. But this time God says that, give me your son. I mean, does that make sense to us? Give me your son. It means human sacrifice. If I want to put it right, God was requiring that the son that Abraham has waited for more than 100 years, God is saying that he should go and what? Sacrifice that son to him. Now, Bible says when he obeyed, look at verse number 15. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of the heaven the second time. Push it. And said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sun which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of thy enemies. What a blessing. Verse number 18, and you say that, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Number one, the benefit of sacrifice is that sacrifice brings the sworn blessing into a man's life. Sacrifice brings the sworn blessing. God says that in blessing I will bless thee. In multiplying I will multiply thee. This was not the first time God was speaking like this to Abraham. When he called Abraham, he told him that I'm going to bless thee. I'm going to make you a blessing to the nations. As a matter of fact, out of you shall the nations of the earth be blessed. But then those blessings were not materialized until Abraham was willing to make a sacrifice. How willing are you ready? Are you to offer that which is so precious to you? That which is so precious to you. I believe that if you want to give something out, then it's not something that you really cherish. Many a times we have given gifts, but the gifts we have given were not gifts that we really so cherish, and therefore letting or parting it actually doesn't make you feel bad.
Many of you give out of abundance. I've given a lot of stuff because I have more. I have more of those things, therefore I give. But then, if I had only one, will I be able to give that thing to you? On what basis? Abraham had only Isaac, a promised child, and yet God said, go and sacrifice that son to me. And Abraham did not relent. It was upon, the theologians will tell us that he almost killed him. In fact, the act actually means that Isaac died virtually. Isaac died because everything was prepared. The hands were tied. The legs were tied. Actually, the eyes were closed. He was placed on the altar. A knife was lifted. Just at the moment of the strike, God says, hold it, son. Now I know you love me. Can you provoke God to tell you how much he loves you based on your sacrifice? Your sacrifice determines how much you love God. What a blessing. Number two, what is the second benefit? 1 Kings 3, 1 and 5. 1 to 5. 1 Kings 3, 1 to 5. Talking about King Solomon. The Bible says that, and Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he had made an end of building his own house and the house of the Lord, and the wall of Jerusalem ran about, pushing. Only the people sacrificed in high places because there was no house built unto the name of the Lord until those days. And Solomon loved the Lord, walked in the statues of David his father. Only he, tell somebody, only he sacrificed a burnt incense in where? In high places. Only he. High places were places where massive sacrifices were made. In fact, in high places, you don't just make any sacrifice. Your sacrifice must be buoyant. Your sacrifice must be actually large and big. And I pray that somebody will make a large sacrifice. Now go to verse number. When you continue later in that part, the Bible says that, and Solomon went to sleep. And in the sleeping, God opened up. God showed up. And asked him, what should I do for you? After he has sacrificed, God appeared to him in his dream. What can I ask for you? Many of us are asking God things. But I'm praying that a time must come where God should be asking, after all, what should I even do for you? I believe there's a level of relationship that you get to that you don't need to request anything from God. But God does them anyway. And I see you getting there. Because your heart is so geared towards God. You love God so much that you don't withhold anything from him. And for that reason, he doesn't also withhold anything from you. He doesn't take anything away from you. Because he knows that whatever he has given you, you also not withhold it from him. Praise God. The Bible says that in the dream, God asked him, what shall I give? And I believe that many of us at this point in time will want to begin to ask so many things. Lord, you know, I want to be that. 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 But then Solomon did not ask for those things. He asks for a heart of understanding to be able to rule over the people of God. A heart of understanding. And God said that you have said right. Because you didn't ask for gold, because you didn't ask for anything, I will give you all that you have requested, including riches and what? And wealth. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. When we offer God a sacrifice, Sacrifices move God to answer our prayer. Sacrifices move God to answer man's problem. Let me put it that way. It moves God to answer man's problem. Sacrifice. Number three, sacrifice, or through sacrifice, God turns our captivity around. Through sacrifice, God turns our captivity around. Psalm 126, verse number 126. When again the Lord turned our captivity, we were like them that dream. We were like them that dream. He said that, and it was said among the hidden that the Lord has done great things for us. It was said among ourselves that the Lord has done great things for us, wherein we are glad. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now look at verse number 3. Go to verse number 4. He says that, turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Then push it, verse 5. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And the verse number 6 says, and he that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless, oh, I feel it, shall doubtless, when you hold your precious seed, you know, God knows you don't have much, and therefore he doesn't feel comfortable, and he doesn't feel good when you have to give all that you have to him. So there's something about sacrifice that actually moves God to do something unusual. He shall doubtlessly come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. May this be our portion. Number 4, benefit of sacrifice. Sacrifice terminates every plague and disaster from our lives. It terminates every plague and disaster from our lives. We saw in the case of David and Arunah, 2 Samuel 24, 18 and 25. 2 Samuel 24, 18 and 25. Powerful. 18 said that, and God gave that day to David and said unto him, go up, rear an altar upon the Lord in the threshing floor of Arunah the Jebusites. Now go to verse number 25. After David had erected and sacrificed, now the Bible said that, and David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt what? And peace offering. So the Lord was entreated for the land. In other words, the Lord heard. And the plague was stayed away from Israel. Maybe there's something going on in your life which keeps reoccurring. There's something going on in the family which keeps reoccurring. There's something that is happening in your life that you don't have much control. You can go before God with a sacrifice and say, Father, as I offer the sacrifice, let this plague, let this kind of vicious cycle cease in my life. And as it did in the days of David, it's been done in your life. So sacrifice actually terminates every plague and disaster from our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now a quick one before we close. How do we sow our seed? How do we sow our seed of sacrifice? How do we sow our seed of sacrifice? So understand that we have understood what sacrifice is. It is one of the channels through which our covenant is seen. Our covenant with God is seen in our sacrifice. When you are making sacrifice unto God, it is seen in you being fulfilling your covenant, your part of the covenant with God. And we've seen what a covenant is. We've seen there are benefits in sacrifice. When a man sacrifices, the man stands to be blessed in every way. Now, how do you sow your seed of sacrifice? Number one, it must be done in love. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 3. It must be done in love. 1 Samuel chapter number 3, verse number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 3. Love must be the motivator when you give. The Bible says that Enel, the Lamb of God, the Lamp of God, went out in the temple of the Lord where the Ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. Praise God. And Samuel was laid down to sleep. No? Okay. And Samuel was laid down to sleep. And Samuel was laid down to sleep. Push it a little bit. Let me see something. Go to the next verse. And the Bible said that the Lord called Samuel and he answered, "Here I am. Here I am." Amen. Your love is seen. Your sowing is seen in your love. Go to 1 Corinthians 13, 3. Let me establish that point clearly. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 3. Talking about love. It says that, "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not loved," the King James put it, "charity, it profited me" what? "Nothing." So you must understand that the only thing that motivates you to give is your love for God. In fact, if you don't love God, it will show in the way you give. That is the best expression. If you really want to know how much you love God, see how much you are willing to commit to Him. Because love is expressed in giving. The reason why you know you love God is you give to Him. Amen. Hallelujah. So love must be the motivator. Say, "Love must be the motivator." You give because you love. Say, "I give because I love God." Come on, I'm not feeling you. Raise your head and talk to me. Say, "I give because I love God." Number two, how do we sow our seed in sacrifice? It must be done in faith. It must be done in faith. It must be done in faith. Romans chapter 18, verse number 3 makes us to understand. It must be done in faith. You don't just give, but you must give in faith. You must give in faith. Romans chapter 18, verse 23. It must be done in faith. What a blessing. It must be done in faith. Anything sinful will die. And therefore, faith must be your greatest activator. Amen. Faith must be your what? Faith must be your what? Somebody's blessed. Whatever is that is not done in faith is a sin. Anything that is not done in faith is what? It's a sin. It's a sin. It's a sin. And therefore, anything sinful will also die. Let faith, you must sow in faith. What does it mean? You must sow based on what God has spoken. That seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all other things shall be added to you. You stand on the word of God and say, "Father, your word has come. Financially, I'm committing to your kingdom. And see if you will not give me that added blessing." I pray that may God give us that grace. Number three, we must sow willingly. We must sow willingly. We must sow willingly. 2 Corinthians 18:12. 1 Corinthians 9:17. We must sow willingly. Your sowing must not be done by compulsion. In fact, nobody is forcing you to give. Amen. Nobody is forcing you to do what? To give. Your giving which must be done in love and must be done in faith, must also be what? Willing. Must be willing. 2 Corinthians 8, 12. Why are you not putting the scriptures there? For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man had, and not according to what that he had not. A willing mind. A willing mind. Everything you do for God must be seen in your willingness. In your willingness. Without a will, whatever you do does not really move God. Number four, we must sow cheerfully. We must sow cheerfully. Again, 2 Corinthians 9, 7. 2 Corinthians 9, 7. We must sow cheerfully. The Bible says that every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. God loves who? Who is that cheerful giver? The one who is still happy and smiling even when he's giving his last meal to God. Not someone who's frowning his face. All because pastor is talking about money. In fact, the reason why you don't have is that you have developed some antagonistic attitude towards money. Seriously. The reason why, you see, whatever you abhor, you don't get. It doesn't come to you. Listen, if you see money, smile and laugh. When you are giving out money, laugh, it will come back. Because when you laugh, you attract it. Amen. It's a secret and it's a principle. You see people when they are giving, even though they feel that they have to give, but then they have squeezed their face. You are telling that you, as you are going, never come back. Never heard. But then if you are giving and you are happy, smiling. In fact, me, whenever I'm giving, I'm smiling. I don't care. You can take much, but then as I'm giving, I say, Lord, this is not mine. This is yours. So as it's going, I know it's coming what? Back. In no time, you hear an alert. The same amount I let off, that same amount has come back in less than 30 minutes. Try it. That today you are going to give an offering. And as you are coming, your 32 teeth is showing. You're happy. You're jumping. That, hey, you are giving to the Lord. May the Lord help us. So, we must sow cheerfully. Number five, we must give tirelessly. Galatians 6, 9. Give tirelessly. We can start from Galatians 6, 6 so that you understand the input of the word. He said that let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Wow. Let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we ought, we faint not. Amen. Now continue. All right. So, he's saying that we should give what? Tirelessly without fainting. Without fainting. Amen. Without what? Then last but not the least, sacrifice is given yearly. Sacrifice is given yearly. Sacrifice is given yearly. Remember the Elkanah and Hannah story? It was a moment of an annual sacrifice that Elkanah and Hannah went to Shiloh. And that Shiloh was a turning point for their lives. That which they have been waiting for so many years, God came through for them. This season of sacrifice can be your turning point. It can be the time where everything is turning around and changing for your good. Somebody's blessed. I want you to be on your feet.
We trust that you've been blessed with the word of God. We would like to have you worship with us at Miracle Manor Church, Top High, off Tech Junction Road, behind Love FM. Call us on 0244-991294 or 0209-959090. Miracle Manor Church, manna fed, manna satisfied.